just kind of adds on to his like sort of creepy.
Yeah, well, the telescope pointed directly at her bedroom window. That's a red flag.
Yeah. That's a massive red flag.
If she was to come over, how would he explain that?
Yeah, actually, you know, when she the thing is, he should have been really worried about her walking up there. That fantasy could go
just quickly really kick quickly. It over.
Just kick it out the window.
Yeah. Zip his pants up.
Yeah, moves the box of tissues away.
I'm in a real identity crisis.
Penetrates
from Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey! Fell
grey, hot. Hello, and welcome to the Incomplete Series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched, or that you have watched and just want to hear us talk about these TV shows. My name's Morgan, and this is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the very last episode of a TV series, and then just try and figure out what's in the middle. Joining me to do this is my good friend, Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Yep.
Yeah, good. I don't know. Yep. I thought we were more work colleagues, but...
Yeah, no, it's more for show. It's the I say we're good friends to the pageantry.
I don't want to lie to our listeners.
Yeah. To be honest, I thought long and hard about that, which is why the intro sort of went a little bit longer this time.
Next time, can you just change it to work colleague?
Yeah. Okay. Which brings me to my other colleague, Aaron.
Hello, Morgan.
It's nice to see you.
You too. I'm back from my fact-finding mission overseas.
Yeah, was it Vietnam?
No, it was the Eastern Himalayas.
Oh, excellent. Yeah,
and I've returned with Smallville.
Oh.
It's my gift to you
that,
all.
What that is.
That is.
Excellent.
Hope you enjoy it.
Well, we'll get back to that in a minute.
And seasons 1 to 10, we're a top Everest.
Just as the prophecy
foretold. The Holy Grail.
I would say Everest would be easier than getting through 10 seasons of Smallville, personally. But
zing.
That's our Everest.
We will cover that over the next 45, 50 minutes.
Well, we just like... That's our Everesting that it's like the equivalent of getting a chopper to the top of it.
Pretty much up and back in one go.
We're claiming that we watched all 10 seasons.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And lastly, Scott, my acquaintance. How
acquaintance?
Are you?
Yeah. I was going to go with Arch Nemesis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Luther to my Clark Kent?
Sure. Yeah. Which one of us is Clark Kent and which one of us is Lex Luthor?
No, he didn't say Lex. He just said Luther.
Yeah. Oh, just Luther.
The sister. Okay. He wants your heart.
Oh, just Idris Elba.
The hit detective show, Luther.
It's a weird relationship.
I was actually referring to Mac's dad from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Luther.
Okay. We have a very strange relationship.
Yeah, we do.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thank you. So, Smallville. That was a... So you picked that, Aaron.
Yeah, someone I met overseas. Hey,
it came to him in a vision.
Yeah.
You didn't pick it.
It picked me. Yeah, someone I met over there explained the podcast to them and they came out with Smallville as a suggestion, which I think is right up our alley.
100%. We
do love awful, like, early 2000s fantasy.
It was a lot of shows that we've already seen rolled into one. Like, it was a little bit like Pretty Little Lies.
Yep.
It was a little bit
Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
A little bit of She-E. We haven't traversed into superheroes, though. I guess the closest thing we've probably come would be Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Xena, Hercules.
He's...
Oh, Hercules.
My favorite superhero by far.
Yeah, Xena.
Scott Bakula.
Hercules counts, Xena doesn't?
No, they both don't count.
They're just regular heroes.
But Scott Bakula
is
a real hero.
He's got a power, I guess.
We said superheroes, Jez, so...
He hasn't fully harnessed his power. He can't control it, but he's got a power.
Mm.
Who wins in a fight? Tom
Hercules
Welling
is just
or
strong.
Tom Welling or Bakula?
Tom Welling looks like a pretty big guy.
Bakula can just go back and mess him up when he's a kid.
That's a good point. Oh. He's got him covered there.
Punch him when he's a toddler. Just give him irreversible brain damage.
Dare I say, I think that may have already happened.
To Tom Welling?
Maybe.
Ooh.
No.
You got punched as a toddler?
It's very mean.
It's
one of the IMDb
back in time and punched Tom Welling in the head with a toddler.
It's a very mean thing to say. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, Scott, you had seen some of Smallville before?
Yeah. I think I... This is a long time ago because it started in 2001.
Yeah.
And I reckon I was probably watching it around then. I think I saw maybe the first two seasons. My mum's a huge Smallville fan. She's got the box set.
Really?
Smallville?
Did she watch it to the end?
Is she the one that put it atop Everest?
Oh. Pretty sure. Yeah.
She had the box set, but she lost it.
Where did I leave it?
Aaron recovered it.
She goes everywhere with it. Yeah.
Naturally.
Goes like
surprise, it's a family heirloom. Yeah. Prized possession.
So in the pecking order, it goes the Smallville box set, you and then your brother.
Yeah.
She wears it like on a chain around her neck, like the ring.
It's very cumbersome.
It's got, yeah.
Like the DVDs, just the
box set. No, the box.
The actual.
I imagine.
Wow, that's cumbersome.
It's a 10-season box set. There'd be a lot of discs in there.
It's a burden to bear.
Dare I say, four discs per season? That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a pretty deep looking box set.
So you'd seen some, Scott.
So we know Morgan, my background.
I actually remember watching a couple of episodes of this. I remember there was one with a bug man. Scott, help me out here.
Ooh. They do like
and he's like into and he was like really into Lana
the fly.
Yeah, it's Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah,
I remember that
the
bug
man. Yeah, I think the bug man might have been the second episode because I remember bits and pieces of that first one, but I can remember watching the first couple.
The early format of the show really is like that sort of comic book esque
Monster of the Week type arc. Thing.
Yeah, it did
remind me a little bit of like first season Supernatural.
Yeah,
I like the Monster of the Week.
Yeah,
type
I honestly
stuff.
Didn't
have a bit of fun with that.
Yeah, the first episode, I actually didn't mind. Like, I can see how people would have watched it in the early days.
It was all right.
Mm. Yeah, Jez, what did you?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
I knew
of it. I knew Tom Welling.
Yeah,
I knew that.
You're aware
it's like high school age Superman and Lex Luthor was some weird bald guy.
Michael Rosenbaum.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. That's it.
Did you know anything, Aaron?
No, I hadn't seen it. My only memory was one time when Scott was at my house when we were about 12 and he really wanted to watch it, but I flat out refused.
Classic you.
Was not having a bar.
He was correct. I might not have seen it that way at the time, but...
Thank
you, Aaron.
Now you're welcome.
Yeah. But you did go to the Himalayas to...
I did.
To get
I owed,
mom's
I owed
box
him
set.
That one.
Was that was that you getting him back for not taking you to meet Rob Schneider?
Yeah. One of many times I need to get him back.
Burns. Is that also the time that he didn't take you to go see Master of Disguise as well?
Mm. Digging up old wounds.
I haven't taken Aaron to go see and meet a lot of things and people.
It's your entire life.
It's our relationship.
Torching Aaron.
Summed up.
Look, on that note, I think we should probably just throw to the first episode then. Scott, what have you got for us?
We open on a completely unnecessary and painfully visible CGI cornfield. A helicopter flies overhead, and we're introduced to the Luthers, father Lionel and son Lex.
Luthers are not afraid. We don't have that luxury. You have a destiny, Lex. You're never going to get anywhere with your eyes closed.
We then cut away to meet the Kents.
I know what you wished for.
I see a little face. That's all I ever wanted.
We're in the small American town of Smallville. As the townspeople go about their business, an impending meteor shower makes its way towards them. It hits Smallville, devastating the city and killing the parents of a young girl named Lana Lane.
Mommy! Daddy!
The Kents, barely injured, find a small boy wandering through a burnt-out cornfield and naturally decide to adopt him. Across the field, Lionel Luthor finds his injured son, Lex, although the only injury he seems to have sustained is that he's now bald. We flash forward 15 years and Tom Welling is now Superman, or at least Superman Light, whilst his parents seemingly haven't aged a day. After demonstrating Clark's awkward nature through a series of high school loser clichés, a twist of fate brings Clark and Lex together in the form of a car accident. The wealthy Luthor develops an immediate fascination with the teenage Kent, not unlike Clark's infatuation with his classmate, Lana.
Didn't realize you had a dark side, Clark.
Doesn't everybody?
Shortly after the accident, Clark finds out he's from another planet, his adopted father having kept the spaceship Clark arrived in inside the shed. All the while, strange happenings unfold in the town, whilst a young man who was knocked into a coma during the meteor shower wakes up. It turns out he was tied to a cross as a high school prank in the cornfield and has come back for vengeance on those who put him there.
Hey, Freakazoid, wake up.
After Clark and the gang discover the would-be villain and his motives, they face off with Clark victorious, setting up the awkward teenage adventures of a moody superboy without any social skills.
So, episode one. I didn't mind it.
Clark's parents do not age whatsoever.
No.
They put like frumpy clothes on them.
Yeah, that's it.
And then
get slightly more country.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit more country. They're in the town less. They're more at home. And that's about it.
I think Clark's dad, Jonathan's like sideburns are slightly trimmed back.
That's a bit of seasoning in the hair as well.
Yeah, a little bit of salt.
Bit flecks of grey, yeah.
A bit of dust.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. But no, haven't aged a day.
No.
I did really enjoy how blasé they were about finding a space boy in the middle of a cornfield. Mm. It was like they'd just come across a stray dog.
Yeah,
can we keep him?
Yeah.
Cornfields
sort of attract these types of phenomenon though. So then they're probably, this is probably like the third or fourth space boy that
adopted. Yeah. Yeah. Space boy foster home.
That's why she's so sad in the beginning, because her space boys keep dying.
They're not strong enough. Well, this one's super strong.
Finally got a winner.
What I did really want to kind of look at was, what was the point of having the CGI cornfield?
So unnecessary.
It just really seems like they could have just gone
to a cornfield.
Yeah, there's a lot of cornfields in the US. You can just build
when it was flattened, and Lionel was walking around and it was all flat and green, and he found like a clump of Lex's hair. Orange hair.
Yeah. Didn't it just get hit by a meteor?
Why is his hair fiery orange?
It'd be the first thing to burn up.
I know.
Why is his hair fiery orange?
Just burned clean off his scalp. Nice shiny bald head under there.
That's the only disfigurement he got. He references it later in the episode as well. He's like, oh yeah, I'm used to people looking at me weird. I've been bald since I was 9.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that strange.
No, not really. I don't think it's that unusual at all.
He's super bitter about it.
Yeah. I think something. He rocks it pretty well. I reckon he
pulls it off.
He is the world's biggest dweeb though. Just getting like his dad's laying into him for not being a tough Luther. And then when he's running through the field, just trying to take a puff from his asthma, then just falls face first in the mud
and sees that guy on the.
What a very dangerous, dangerous tradition.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Leaving someone to die.
Let's crucify someone in a cornfield.
That's awful.
And paint an S on them.
It's it's the Smallville way.
Very unsettling.
Don't knock it till you tried it.
I suppose. I'll knock it.
Whoever the weakest one of us is, we'll do it to them after the show.
We'll crucify them in a cornfield.
CGI cornfield.
Yeah. Can you get us a CGI cornfield, Scott? Can
absolutely.
Does he and a cross?
Does he come? Yeah. I know his powers. Like he loses his powers, right? He gets reverse.
Who's this? Jeremy.
The electric. Yeah, Jeremy. Yeah.
Loses
at the end.
His
I was going to say, does he come back at all?
Because when Superman he gets him and then he like forgets where he was.
He gets electrocuted
and he's
again.
Like an 18-year-old kid again.
I have some notes about that. So when like all of a sudden how like his best friend Allison Mack and his best mate Petey, they're like detectives now. They're talking about how he has an electrolyte imbalance?
Yes.
Jeremy disappeared from the state infirmary a few days ago where he'd been in a coma for 12 years. They say he suffered from massive electrolyte imbalance.
That's why he hasn't aged a day.
What is that?
What?
So he was in a coma for 12 years and didn't age a day because of an electrolyte imbalance.
That makes no sense.
It was one of those things where like they just ran through it really quickly. It was like a little scientific sprint. They're like, if we do it quick enough, nobody's going to question it.
Exactly.
Why were they suddenly the detectives and getting to the bottom? They seem to just sort of accept all of these weird goings on.
Yeah, it's sort of
well, because Chloe's got that wall of weird. She's like a young budding journalist, so she's like getting everybody involved in. Which is essentially just a source for episodes.
There's a bunch of... Yeah, honestly. I guess. So they just sort of establish early that weird stuff always
happens.
It's a weird
town. Yeah.
Because
of the media shower.
I paused and had a look at some of the headlines on the Wall of Weird. My favorite one was The Scary Truth That Doctors Don't Want You to Know.
Ooh.
It's like a clickbait headline.
That is...
Superman hates them.
That's an ACA story waiting to happen.
They invented clickbait.
There was one great scene at the start of the, like when they're going to high school and Pete comes up to him and he goes, oh, let's try it for the football team. And then Allison Mack starts laughing at them. Yeah. So after I saw that, I'm like, well, I'm going to look up, like Tom Welling looks like a pretty big guy. There's only so much I can glean from eyeballing him on the TV. I'm going to look up his physical stats. Guy was 6'3", about 100 kilos, just looking at him. I reckon he's handling something.
I reckon he'd do all right. Yeah.
He's
meant to be 16 as well.
And when he's on the cross, he's just jacked, his abs are popping out. He'd probably go all right.
I reckon he's going to be fine. And she's laughing at him like they won't stand a chance. I'm like, no, I reckon he's got himself covered.
Why does Jeremy leave him up there? He gets his own way down. Like, what's Jeremy's beef with him?
I think because he was like hinting he was trying to stop Jeremy.
Okay.
Yeah. But still, dick move.
I think it was like kind of like, now you're safer here because I'm going to go murder everyone at the high school.
Let him down. Like, he's going to die up there.
Well, because he didn't know about the kryptonite.
But
Lana's boyfriend
that
gives
aside,
him,
if he's still being crucified.
If he's not like Superman, he'd probably just freeze to death out there. Yeah.
Also,
from an electrolyte
imbalance. They've crucified him.
Lana's boyfriend as well. His name's Whitney.
Yeah,
Whitney.
Is that his surname or is his...
Probably that's his first name.
Mike Whitney.
Mike Whitney.
Went on to host
Whitney Fordman.
Come on.
They just called him James or something like that.
They just put it into like a jock name generator.
Whitney Ford, man.
I did enjoy this. I think my favorite scene of the whole episode, like the whole episode though, was definitely when Lana's going to the graveyard and Clark's just hanging out there.
Clark Kent? What are you doing creeping around the woods?
You'd never believe me if I told you.
It's like, I'm hanging out in a graveyard. What sort of behavior you think that is? It's like he's really trying to be weird.
He's so sensitive about it.
Well, he just had a fight with his dad, right? He just found out that he was from outer space.
So rather than doing like the...
he just super speed runs to the graveyard.
Yeah, didn't do the old Kevin Bacon and punch down, dance out his rage in an abandoned factory.
Well, he lives in an abandoned barn, so...
Okay. But why did they then...
Speaking of the barn, his telescope at the barn is just... Like, direct line of sight to Lana's house.
Yeah.
They're walking... Lana and Clark are walking back away from the graveyard. They walk, like, right up to Whitney's house.
Mm. No, that's Lana's house.
Whitney's just there.
Yeah. Okay, that makes
waiting
more sense.
Waiting in the shadows.
Yeah. I thought they'd walk past, like, Whitney's house. I'm like, geez, that's a weird thing to do.
it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
There's some of the best, like, reaction shots when Clark's looking through the telescope to see Lana on the porch. And it's so formulaic. Like, looks through, she comes out, and then he, like, lifts his head up from the telescope, like, gives a bit of a smile.
He looks like Steve Carell on the 40-year-old Virgin poster. He's like, so happy.
And then looks back in, sees Whitney walk into frame and, like, grab Lana and, like, start kissing her, and then, like, just looks up, like, ooh. Like, just some of the worst directing I've ever seen.
Can we go to the meteor shower to start again? Lana's parents die in the meteor shower in a pretty hilarious shot where they're
looking
just
up, smiling at the meteors as they're coming
down. Yeah, the meteors are coming down, they're waving to her on the other side of the street, and then... Like, meteor hits their car.
Oh, it was so
ridiculous.
Incredible. So good.
But he, at the end, he's like, when you find out that was her, when her parents died, he's like, oh, it's my fault. Is it his fault? He was a baby in like a little capsule. He didn't cause a meteor shower.
Yeah.
You would never hold him accountable. At one point in the show, almost certainly Lana finds out all that.
Yeah.
And she can't forgive him.
Yeah.
Mm.
But then does.
Yeah.
But then, and then she dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in a meteor shower.
And then we ride in Lois Lane, your love interest. Lois Lane.
But that would have leveled the town. They weren't doing anywhere near enough damage for how big they were. They were huge.
Yeah. And it's localized to this town.
Yeah, small little explosions. That would have just wiped the whole town out.
Mm.
Luther would not have survived that. That corn would have all been just incinerated. Yeah, he'd be dead.
It wouldn't just be like gently flattened the way it is.
And I don't think it would take a high schooler building a wall of weird to get the attention it deserves after a meteor shower and people are growing extra fingers and all this weird shit's happening. I think people would be pretty on top of that.
That whole town would have been cordoned off. It would have been Area 52.
I reckon.
Is that what they say in the wall? Strange events were occurring.
One guy's finger moved from one hand to another. And
ooh,
that's weird.
There was a wall of fire and weird glowing rocks and stuff.
Meteors.
Damn.
Glowing rocks.
So they're some sort of, we know they're alien. They imbued old mate with powers, Jeremy, while he was on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But again, he would have just died.
No, he would have died.
He wouldn't have just been able to shoot electricity out of his hands.
No, he was so exposed to that explosion.
Physically, it doesn't make sense.
No. Like, why electricity as well? Shouldn't he be shooting meteors?
No, because he had an electrolyte imbalance, Jez. That's why.
Didn't that cause the electrolyte imbalance?
He's expelling all his electrolytes.
Yeah.
That's shooting power right out of his fingers.
The most exciting thing I found was the scene where Lex is fencing with his...
A giant mansion.
Super attractive
fencing coach?
European fencing coach.
Mm.
And then she like defeats him in the whatever. And Clark walks in. He's just like standing by the door. Lex just like immediately turns around. Clearly like would have seen him and throws the fencing sword like right next to his head. And then just pulls up the fencing mask like, oh, Clark, I didn't see you there. He's looking at him for like 3 seconds.
Yeah. And you're not going to miss Tom Welling walking into a... He's a big man.
He's a big man. You would have heard him. You would have seen him.
I did enjoy that whole scene after he's done fencing the tower around his neck, goes and makes himself like a rich person drink. Some crazy rich person drink station.
I love it that it was to the after sensing.
It's just golden saffron.
Yeah.
Just gets a lot of rosemary and like something completely unpalatable.
Yeah. His most expensive ingredients.
His dad shipped the mansion over brick by brick from Scotland.
Yeah, I remember the trucks rolled through town for weeks, but no one ever moved in.
My father had no intention of living here. He's never even stepped through the front door.
Then why'd he ship it over?
Because he could.
Yeah, that's one of those stories that like...
But why would they work that in when they've got a... Because the mansion was CGI and it looked terrible. It looked even worse in the last episode, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Just why write that in? Why write that into... I guess this becomes a central location throughout the rest. But just have a regular house. Don't make it a CGI mansion.
Was it CGI?
Yeah, it was CGI.
Yeah. I read that it was the same mansion from X-Men 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it was definitely CGI in the last episode when it was half destroyed.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
That makes horrendous sense. I think the CGI got worse in the 10 years that the show was on that.
I disagree. The meteors in space was pretty.
Did you see the Fortress of Solitude in the last?
Oh, actually,
and
the
planet that was
really bad.
Yeah.
They really. You could tell this with this episode that they really ran over with time when they wrote it. So they just cut out heaps. That whole Jeremy supervillain arc is they spend six minutes
pretty condensed.
It's 5 minutes max on screen.
Yeah, there's so much other exposition they're trying to set up for the whole season that they just run out of time.
Yeah, almost don't need a storyline like that in the first episode.
Establish
the whole character.
Yeah.
And the supporting cast. And back to the Jeremy thing. So his plan was to turn the sprinklers on at the big dance and electrocute everyone, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's thwarted by Clark. But Clark, to stick it to the jocks, stacks all their cars up.
That's all right.
Isn't he meant to be sort of flying under the radar?
Yeah.
Because they're all just the jocks, instead of being how the fuck did that happen? They're all just pissed off, God damn, whoever did this is gonna get it.
They're pissed off. Everybody else is laughing, what a wacky prank.
Whilst stacked up in the
Lana's the only one who's
that's weird.
What is going on?
Is anyone puzzled how
did
this
anyone
happened?
See a crane? This is we were in there for half an hour. How did this happen?
Maybe because
we would have heard a crane.
Maybe because there's so many strange things going on in the town. They're just like that's just another thing. This is pretty reasonable compared to the guy who had a finger go from one hand to the other.
Yeah, that is weird.
At least it's physically possible.
Did it move over time? Up his arm, across his shoulders, and then back down the other arm?
Or is it just hopped up?
Surely when it was halfway finger. Up, he's like, if it started on his right, move to his left. Surely when it's up to the wrist on his right, he goes to the doctor and is like, can we stop this?
Hey, doc, I don't know what's going on, but something needs to be done.
Yeah.
Clark's got a little bit of... They work in a couple of those imaginary sort of scenes where you think that Lana's come to his house to come and dance with him, but he's just imagining it. I thought it was
real.
Real.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they needed that to be a dream sequence.
Yeah. And it just kind of adds on to his sort of creepy...
Yeah. Well, the telescope pointed directly at her bedroom window. That's a red flag.
Yeah. That's a massive red flag.
If she was to come over, how would he explain that?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, when she the thing is, he should have been really worried about her walking up there. That fantasy could go
just quickly really kick quickly. It over.
Just kick it out the window.
Yeah. Zip his pants up.
Yeah. Moves the box of tissues away.
It's basically the jerk off station from I Love You Man.
He's just got he's got a telescope pointing at her.
Yeah.
There is so much wrong with that.
Yeah.
And the thing that didn't really occur to me until now, but wow, there's so many things from shows that are older that
Miss Weinstein era would not fly anymore.
No,
there was even a weird gay joke when
Lana
was talking to her parents who were dead. She was having a conversation with the gravestone.
Mom wants to know if you're upset about a girl. Dad wants to know if you're upset about a guy.
No.
He has a twisted sense of humor.
Wow.
Whoa.
Very backward town.
Small town campus.
Yeah.
I suppose what should we expect? Yeah. But that was I had that written down. What's the note? homophobia still okay in the early early noughties, but yeah. I'm like, I couldn't remember what the joke was.
Yeah, I mean, it's a country town.
Yeah, it's like
when, it makes sense in 2001.
Yeah, I suppose it does.
Unfortunately,
but still, I mean, it's a show on prime time. Maybe let's just it's a joke that you just don't need to have.
No, reel it in. No. Yeah,
but I think we probably should move on to the finale of Smallville.
Agreed.
The finale of Smallville kicks off with Clark and Lois Lane arguing about their wedding. Lois wants to call it off because she thinks she'll get in the way of Clark's Supermaning. With some convincing from Chloe and some pre-wedding vow sharing, they decide to go through with it. Also, Clark's dad is dead.
No matter where I am or who I'm choosing to bring into my life, your father is always with me. And he's with you if you just allow yourself to see him.
Meanwhile, we meet a new member of the gang called Tess. She's in the control room and discovers that there's another planet, appropriately named Apocalypse, hurtling towards Earth. Apocalypse is ruled by a supervillain named Darkseid, who is trying to take over the world with evil spirits. Tess is then propositioned by an old woman to join their team, but she politely declines. Back at the wedding, Clark's best man Oliver, who is a hero himself, Green Arrow, has been possessed by Darkseid.
I've done what you asked. They won't know Apocalypse is coming.
Oliver tries to slip the bride and groom some kryptonite wedding rings, but luckily Chloe notices, and Clark can then sweet-talk Oliver into crying out the evil spirit that's inside him. After this, they put the wedding on hold to try to save the world. Over at Luther Corp, we find out that Tess is actually Lex's sister, and she's been kidnapped by Lionel Luther.
I should have guessed it would be you.
No. Don't beat yourself up, Tess. I've been watching you very closely.
They need her heart to complete the Frankenstein version of Lex that is made almost entirely from failed clones of himself. But Tess manages to break her shackles and put a bullet in Lionel before escaping. But Lionel's last act is to sell his soul to Darkseid so that Lex can live. The revived Lex then stabs Tess, but she manages to smear his face with a memory-erasing toxin and he forgets everything before that moment.
How long?
30 seconds.
Back to Armageddon, and the US government is going to nuke Apocalypse, killing millions in the process. Thankfully, Lois has this covered and sneaks onto Air Force One to convince them to wait for a hero to save them. And following a pep talk from his dead fathers and a few flashbacks, Clark obliges. In his fresh new Superman suit, he blasts apart Darkseid and steers Apocalypse away from Earth. Everyone is saved. We then skip forward 7 years to 2018, and Lex has been elected president, while Clark and Lois are finally about to get married. That's a wrap for 10 seasons of Smallville.
There is so much wrong with this final episode.
I lost interest in this very, very quickly. Yeah. Like 6 minutes in, I'm on my phone.
There's just so many things that don't make sense. Like the whole thing about Apocalypse, they're like, it's not an asteroid, it's a planet. It's like, that doesn't make any difference.
It's still gonna,
whatsoever.
Yeah,
it's
like, a huge you guys thing think it's way smaller than it is, but it's still massive. So it's still an issue.
Like, do they just think it's size like it's further away? Or like, no, they think it's closer than it.
And her issue is like, you can't nuke it because people will die.
The entire Earth will be destroyed.
You've just said a planet is going to hit ours. We've got to try something.
Yeah.
No, wait for a hero. That's terrible advice.
Yeah.
So heroes must be like an established
thing.
Yeah, they must have all sort of come out of the woodwork.
There's at least two.
Mm.
So Green Arrow.
We got Green Arrow.
And he shoots the... his reveal, like him coming back into being Green Arrow.
Yeah.
His suit comes out and stuff, and then he puts on this stupid voice, and he's got like these wraparound sunglasses.
What's up with the sunnies?
And like a sleeveless hoodie. Yeah, like which is a terrible choice for an archer. You just have no peripheral vision.
Yeah, like a leather hoodie. It's so, oh man. And he just shoots these three arrows at the three, like Darkseid's three cronies. And
they all
explode into puffs of smoke. I thought Lex's dad was dead as well.
I think a lot of these characters come back to life.
Yeah.
Or there's like other iterations of them.
And Lex had died a long time ago?
Yeah, I think so. Because, But this whole thing, I remember from watching the show, Lionel Luther goes blind like really quickly and then dies and then I think comes back.
Right.
And then he must die and come back again or something.
Lex is being... What does like Luther Corp make?
Is it just like everything? Chemicals? Like one of those... omnipresent companies.
They just clone themselves.
Like Wayland Corp sort of.
Just a standard evil empire.
Like Umbrella Corp. Just no one really knows what they do.
Everything bad.
How do these corporations get their henchmen?
Like, I don't know.
There's one dude who like stops Tess from leaving, and he's just standing there with a gun while Lionel like straps her down, saying, "We're going to take your heart."
Yeah, he's
how much is that guy getting paid to play this job?
Just look the other way while we remove this girl's heart to
the old 9 to 5 grind.
What sort of salary,
zombie Lex?
What sort of salary would you? What amount of salary would you say would go? All right, well, I'm happy to.
How much hush money would you?
Yeah, I want like 5 clones a week of myself.
That's the price. Yeah, you don't want any money.
Yeah, just clones.
What would you? I reckon I'd take like.
My henchman.
Oh, you're going to take over.
Yeah. I reckon 6-figure salary side benefits hustle. Would be enough for me.
An NBA vet minimum for me. Give me 500k, and then I will guard the door while you cut out women's hearts and then give them to your clone son. I'll turn the other way for half a mil.
So clone Lex becomes president.
Yeah,
that's is so, he evil? Is Lex evil? So I don't really
know. No, they put the memory erasing foam on his cheek.
So is that in her blood?
I think it was in her blood. I think it was in her blood.
She gets stabbed and then
it's on her glove, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was that. I was like, is she a robot? What's going on here?
So but it doesn't erase 30 seconds and you'll forget everything.
But not everything. You'll still be smart enough and charismatic enough
to run for president.
Yeah, I'm going to remember everything, all the like the best bits from the show that I was in, and then I'm going to forget everything.
Yeah, there was a little mini clip show. Couple of clip shows. One when Clark was, his dad was, he went to the Fortress of Solitude and his dad's his real dad, biological father, giving him a pep talk.
He
was like floating up into the air and, but he sort of, he was somewhere else and then he like had this, he sort of went
he
into
like
a
traveled
trance.
There in his mind.
Yeah.
It was like a
but then he
meditative.
Flew out of there.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really understand it.
So he teleported there?
He may be Superman, but he has a very low self-esteem.
Yeah,
he does needs a lot of encouragement and pep talks.
In the form of a clip show.
Yeah.
played on little shards of crystal.
Yeah, yeah.
His preferred
it's his home
viewing
cinema.
Medium. Yeah, that's home cinema.
There was a moment that confused me a little bit. I mean, there was a lot, actually.
It's bound to be a few.
But there was one where Clark's mum goes, she says something about, I've called all the agents. I've called in all the agents and, you know...
She head of she's the CIA.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, what's going on? Like,
she's got a direct line
that?
To the president.
Clark's mum, she's like, I've called in all the agents. They're all out looking now. And it's like what...
She's done well.
Have you gone from a farmhouse wife to...
Yeah,
she's
dead
her mum too. She was running for re-election.
Yeah.
That's what Clark says to her early. Yeah, right. So
she could be a senator or something. But she's gone from, housewife to senator very quickly.
Humble beginnings.
Or it's like in Ghost Whisperer where everyone gets one call to the Pentagon. No questions asked. Send out all the agents. Need all hands on deck.
This last episode, like there's a lot of melodrama in the first one. This one is dialed right up. Like they've dialed it up, broken off the dial, and it's just stuck there.
For that and CGI.
Oh, hideous. The soft lens is just painful. It's like my eyes were melting out of my head. There was
okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at my notes here. There was a scene where they look at. I think it's Elson Mac.
Internal database shows it's registered to
a company called Preclocks.
It was founded only 6 weeks ago.
According to their bank records, they have limitless funds.
Yes, I was going to bring this up. Yeah. It's like that electrolyte thing in the first episode.
What?
When they're like real looking quick. Up. Luther Corp or something. It's like, according to their bank records, they have limitless funds.
Like,
what kind of bank records? What does that mean?
They just look at the account balances like an infinity symbol.
Yeah, limitless funds. You can't have limitless funds.
Doesn't make any sense?
There's a finite amount of money in the world.
Exactly. Furthermore, how do you have access to that?
Yeah, it's just a newspaper.
How can you look at someone's bank details?
They just looked at
and that's from searching someone's license plate. It's like, he works for this company and they have limitless funds.
She just whipped out the AFR, looked at the share price, and it's the infinity symbol. She's like, oh shit,
just keeps going up.
This guy's doing well.
I'm gonna jump on.
There's just a lot of.
That's a bad time to jump on. Well, I guess you're always going to get back exactly what you put in.
I just don't think Superman's just not a very interesting superhero.
No.
Because
it's real. Yeah, there's just nothing he can't do.
No, exactly. Yeah. There's no weakness. There's no. It's like I'm.
There's some sort of glowing rock is his weakness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is literally from another planet, and there's almost no source of it here.
Yeah.
So I cannot be stopped, essentially. I got some question marks over like the sexual relationship that he would have with Earth women.
Oh,
Go on. What do you mean?
Wouldn't he? I mean,
be super powerful.
Yeah. Wouldn't he kill people?
Maybe it's like,
can,
maybe
it's like can control it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
like maybe not in the sack.
Somebody taught him how.
If he's in a demon surely. In the sack.
In the first episode, when he wanted to try it for the football team, his dad's like, no, you can't do it. And he's like, well, what if I go like, you know, 1/8 speed or whatever? Mm. I dial it back. Yeah, he'd have to do that. Well, you think he'd be so good at sex that he'd just blow people's minds?
No, I just reckon he'd like end up like...
Or he'd just be really frustrated because he's always dialing it back.
Yeah.
Can never fulfill his sexual potential.
He could never.
No.
Yes. You know, he's a prolific lover.
He's destined to be that. But maybe that's limited by these earth women.
That could be something you could explore, like Superman erotica.
Yeah. That's what Jarrell's talking about, like his trials. I wonder if they are explored during the show.
Smallville?
Yeah.
I doubt it, but...
I mean, it's like a kid's growing up sort of thing. Would his baby
have like be half Superman, half human? And then have like some powers or like just half powers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that'd be laser eyes?
Yeah, just like one eye.
That'd be a crazy baby to bring up.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason why they bring Superman in when he's like 8.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, they can slightly control him. Whilst he's got a baby that's just crying, spraying lasers out of its eyes.
Oh, space.
How are you going to do that? Boy. Put in a kryptonite cot? Like, doesn't really sell.
That would also kill him.
Well, that kryptonite doesn't kill necessarily. Gold kryptonite does. That was the thing.
Yeah. Was that going to kill
their powers.
It was going to kill her as well?
I don't know. I thought it was just a match.
Only one... ring? He only had one kryptonite
ring. Yeah, that was the one that was going to go on.
But can't he just take it off?
No, you put it on and then you lose all your powers and that's it.
But he had the necklace on. It's like a one
shot. No, it was gold kryptonite.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't know how it looks different from gold. I don't know how Chloe looks.
Just making this up.
It goes back to what we were saying before. This is why he's such a stupid character. It's like, we just made this magical ring that
is going to take
turn his powers off.
Yeah.
Fucking Superman. I don't give a shit about you.
I did enjoy when Lois got onto Air Force One and was trying to get an audience with the Secretary of Defense to convince them not to nuke Apocalypse. And she just bursts into the room and the security guard's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'll get her out of here. And then just kind of gently holds her there for like 20 seconds while she explains herself. She'd be dead instantly.
Oh, yeah. No, they did, like they would not allow that at all.
They would have
like,
checked her ID card and she wouldn't have got onto the plane in the first place. 100%.
Yes, Mr. President.
But it worked.
Apparently. And then they didn't nuke.
And then she gets like an interview with the president.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Lois Lane of the Daily Planet, reporting from aboard Air Force One.
Miss Lane.
Mr. President.
Like, what are you going to talk about? He's got no fucking idea what just happened.
Not the time.
You've got no idea what happened. Nobody knows anything. You're just going to talk about, like, what's your perfect Sunday? Like, what?
Do you think everyone was just a little too calm as well throughout?
Yeah.
Like, the amount of frivolous shit Superman did while the giant planet was hurtling towards Earth.
Yeah, he probably should have dealt with that first instead of going to the Fortress of Solitude like and trying to get married and doing all that other stuff.
Exchanging vows and, like, going to get married and then fucking... Come on.
Take care of Apocalypse first.
Yeah, there's a lot of things wrong with that last episode.
Priorities are a bit... skewed.
That's why I didn't get the extra 0.7 to get it up to 10. That's why it's only a 9.3.
Yeah, perfect, exactly.
So. Any thoughts on what happened to Lana?
That's an interesting question.
Well, she's dead.
Do you think is she dead?
Surely.
Yeah. Mm.
They in the little clip show, they showed her getting like taken up in a ute in a like tornado or something. I don't know if then Clark like comes
shot
in
from Twister.
Saves her. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Mm.
Did she go on to do anything? As an actress?
Kristen Kreuk.
Kreuk. Yeah, I think she was in like another... she was in like that Beauty and the Beast, like, TV series.
Yeah. That's right.
Not the one we did?
No, it was like a...
But it was pretty recent. Like
It would have been just after this. I think it ran for a couple of seasons. The Superman Clark Kent character, it's not like... He's just not a very interesting character.
Yeah, he's just neutral.
Yeah, because he's completely all powerful, more powerful than anything. Like he threw a planet, he stopped the planet from colliding with our planet. Just like, okay, we pushed it away.
Mm.
And the only thing that can stop him is just small shards of his home planet. Like that's what stops him. So, and people have no access to that. So the personality is flat. It's all very disgusting.
He can be stopped emotionally though.
Mm.
He's a very emotionally weak man.
Well, like you were saying, he liked confidence. So he just beat him down.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just heckle him.
His confidence. You just tell him that he can't do anything, and you just believe it.
Anyway, I think we're probably just about done with speculation, done with episode reviews. Maybe we should reboot this bad boy.
Definitely. I think this is the show that we've watched that has the most versions of it already.
Yeah, it does exist in a lot of...
so many things.
Oh, this is just a small drop in the Superman lore pond, really.
Yeah, I had a look through some ridiculous storylines, and the best one I came across was a comic from 1987 called The Suicide Snare, where a villain called Sleaze kidnaps Superman and another hero called Big Barda and uses his mind control to make them have sex on camera to send a sex tape to Big Barda's husband, Mr. Miracle, just to torment him.
What? What? Is that fan fiction?
No, that is a Superman comic that actually happened.
Wait, from when?
87.
80?
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's later than I thought it would be.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so it ends with them like chasing Sleaze away, and it says Superman and Barda later decide that they will not try and recall what happened to them while Sleaze was controlling them and awkwardly part ways.
What do you mean will not recall?
Wow.
Like, I think they're just not going to think about it, or is there some
like
sort of...
Like, they didn't, like, remember what happened when they were, like, under mind control.
Right.
But they woke up and they were, like, making out in front of a camera while her husband runs in. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a...
Superman sex tape.
What I thought was going to...
Superman sex tape.
Maybe you can have sex with other superheroes, but not regular humans.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And only on camera.
Yeah, right.
That's insane.
That is
very weird. So that's my reboot.
Has anybody rebooted Superman as a sex tape? That's certainly one way to do it.
Yeah. Jez, do you want to kick us off with your reboot?
Sure. I struggle a little bit with this one, just because, again, like, bland characters.
Yeah.
And Superman's boring, you know, sort of the whole thing is boring. I've never been intrigued by any part of his story.
Mm.
So I sort of elaborated the Smallville element, took it literally.
Okay.
a meteor crashes into Smallville.
Yeah.
Everyone is wiped out because the town is literally small. So the meteors are much, much bigger. Wipe everyone out except for one person.
Yeah.
And turns out that Superman is a giant by their standards, or they're miniature people for him.
Yep.
So one man survives, and he raises Superman, and they sort of he like just basically sits on his shoulder, and they go around and solve crimes. It's called Smallville. I was sort of toying with this because if the whole town was wiped out, the one guy that was left, you'd be reluctant to sort of raise the child that obliterated your town and like killed your family and stuff.
Mm.
So I feel like he'd have to use Superman to do his evil bidding, because not only is he Superman, but he's also enormous, like 100 meters tall.
Yeah, right. That's very tall.
So it's called Smallville, and Superman is played by Jack Black. He's familiar with the type of role. He's in Gulliver's Travels.
I was going to say,
should have done Ted Danson.
Yeah, you're not going to do Ted Danson?
Was Ted Danson the...
He played Gulliver in like the 80s version.
In like a TV movie.
Well, Ted Danson...
No, early 90s.
Ted Danson could be like the Smallville...
Hours. Yeah, geez, that was long.
The Smallville
could he raise
survivor?
Jack Black?
Get the two together. Because it makes sense, because in Gulliver's Travels, he's really big for a while, and then he's in a world where he's really small. So they both know what it's like to play both of those roles. Maybe they could switch each week.
Okay, that could be good.
It's not confusing at all.
I was gonna, I had Rob Brydon, but he's English. Doesn't make any sense.
I like that. I'd like Rob Brydon and Jack Black. That's an interesting.
He does. Rob Brydon's the top. Are you talking about the small man trapped in a box?
Yeah,
thing?
Exactly. That's why. That's why. Yes, Rob Brydon, because he's like got this character, small man in a box.
Love Rob Brydon.
I bet it could be Ten Dancing. And Smallville.
I'd watch that.
That would be interesting.
That's fun. That would be
pretty
interesting.
TV show. Yeah.
Movie, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll jump in. So I've decided to pretty much avoid the character of Clark because he's a dud. Mine kicks off in 2022, where Lex is running for re-election. So in his first term, he won a lot of support by looking out for his big business buddies. But there's growing inequality, and the lower income majority is becoming increasingly dissatisfied. So then in the lead up to the primary elections, a new candidate emerges, It's another young man from Kansas who'll be running against Lex. He's campaigning for the forgotten members of society, the disenfranchised, the outcasts, the leftovers. It's Blex Bluther, a man cobbled together from the offcuts of Lex Luthor's clones.
So Lex got all the good parts.
Yeah, so he's all the rest of it.
These are the worst parts.
Frankenstein together. So it's like a straight comedy where Blex, it's their whole campaign race, and Blex has all of the memories that Lex had erased. So he's got a lot of dirt on him. And Lex doesn't really know what's going on. He just is obviously knows something's up, but he's just completely bewildered by the whole thing.
So same cast, Michael Rosenbaum.
I went with Nicolas Cage playing both Lex and Blex.
Oh, that's good casting.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a adaptation sort of feel.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is like you don't need the same actors to play both because Blex is clearly like the cold together bad.
Yeah,
parts,
true.
So he could just be anyone. Incredibly disfigured. Presumably there's going to be a lot of prosthetics involved.
Yes, absolutely. It's called The Best of You.
That's good.
That's great. That's awesome. Blex Bluther.
Who wins? Bluther. Who wins?
Oh, we have to wait to the movie.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Who are you going to vote for?
I got my money's on Blex.
Oh my God.
I'm taking the under on Blex as well.
He appeals to the common man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Can we... I'm feeling that we need to make a t-shirt out of this.
Yeah.
Blex Bluther 2022. All right, do you mind if I jump in?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I'm going to keep this real simple. This is going to be set after the first season of Smallville. I think it's going to be at the height of when Clark is like his most angsty, because he's pretty angsty in that first episode. So it's just after a slew of events have happened where he's feeling like particularly low. He can't like... talk to anybody. He can't really talk to his dad or his mom because, you know, they don't really understand him. He can't talk to his friends because he's got to keep his identity hidden. So there's only one way that he can get out his emotions in a healthy way. So he hires out the local theater one night a week under the name of Mark Fent and just performs like a one-man stage show that's just like basically recapping the week's events of whatever's happened to him. He was tied up onto a cross or he fell over in front of Lana. But he sort of like changes the story just enough. Because it's like in this town, everybody knows it's him.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Everybody knows.
A town of like 300 people.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just...
And he put on like a fake moustache or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like that Henry Cavill moustache sort of thing. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's got like a bowler hat or something. Just something where it's like the Superman glasses thing. Like it's clearly him.
But it's enough to throw people off.
So they don't know it's him?
No, they know it's him.
Okay.
But he thinks that nobody knows that it's him.
Yeah, yeah.
They're essentially just humouring him.
Yeah.
And I think it just becomes like a bit of a cult following of like, you can't believe that this guy doesn't know that he...
Everyone knows. And
everybody knows except him.
Yep.
And he's just like spilling his guts once a night at the local community theatre, Smallville Community Theatre. And he just does that basically through high school. And yeah, that's the...
Is it Tom Welling?
That's the show. It has to be.
Yeah.
He's just brooding.
What's it called?
It's called My Trials.
My Trials?
Mm. Yeah. His emotional trials.
I'll wrap this up then. My one is just sort of adding to the Superman lore because I think we've got so Smallville's happened. This is coming out this year. Oh, sorry, starting next year. I've already got the cast signed up, so it's all good to go.
Nice.
So mine is it's set sort of in a different sort of parallel to Smallville. So instead of the meteor shower hitting Smallville, Kansas, it hits Brooklyn, New York. Those tiny little meteors.
I feel like your reboots are either Brooklyn or Portland.
They're literally in those two places. Or Melbourne. There's the three places I go to, my go-to cities. Okay, in New York, it's always Brooklyn specifically. So the meteor shower hits there and a couple, they're driving, same sort of thing. They come across the space baby. Walks up to them and they're flipped sedan. It's Lou Kentish and Irene Kentish, played by Larry David and Susie Essman.
Who's
Susie Essman's Jeff Garland's wife out of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh yeah,
Just a screaming woman.
She's great.
Yeah, which is why I picked her. So they find this baby and they name him Carl, Carl Kentish. And they, you know, basically he grows up in New York, but like completely different upbringing. So, you know, we flash forward rather than going to high school, we flash forward like 25 years and he's just working as like a security guard at Trump Tower with his best friend, Paul, who's played by Jason Mantzoukas.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he doesn't know he has powers. He just still lives with his parents. He's just a complete loser. And Carl, and it's played by Nick Kroll. And he discovers he has superpowers because, you know, it's him and Jason Mantzoukas. So they do the night shift at Trump Tower. A whole bunch of protesters come up and then he basically, you know, they break in and he, like, you know, panics and then uses his superpowers and just kind of thwarts this entire like horde of protesters.
Mm-hmm.
Trump sees it and is like, oh, it's perfect. Got my new hero here. So basically, you know, Nick Kroll becomes a superhero for, like, just like an American superhero, but like it's for all the wrong reasons. He comes basically a supervillain. They just exploit his powers because he doesn't care because he's so apathetic. He's so angry all the time because, you know, he's just like real like meek dude, but he's just got these superpowers. It's called Surly Man. Yeah. That's my reboot. So nice. Yeah, Nick Kroll, Jason Mantzoukas, and Larry David and Irene.
Donald Trump and playing himself.
No, Donald Trump's going to be played by Danny McBride.
Okay.
But with the hair teased in such a way.
Oh, nice. I want to see that.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun.
Silly nice. Man.
Nice.
I'm in.
So final thoughts on Smallville, Jerome.
Got out of hand.
Yeah.
I reckon it could have been a good show if it had finished like 5 seasons in, maybe.
Yeah.
Like the formative years of Superman. Interesting story.
Yeah,
like,
that's it is.
That's the one point in Superman's sort of story arc where he's an interesting character, when he's like a kid who's halfway between Superman and just a regular teenager.
He's a man, but not yet a Superman.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Trying to come to terms with all of his powers and stuff. And then it just gets like, when he's just fucking pushing planets the other way, it's like, well, come on.
Yeah. What can't he do?
Yeah exactly.
Mm.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I agree.
I wouldn't bother watching it.
No, I agree with you. I
don't let the IMDb ratings fool you.
Yeah. Aaron?
I'm just really sick of these awful fantasy shows with terrible sci-fi and like self-indulgent storylines.
Mm.
I can't do it anymore. I'm sorry I brought this one into our lives.
Yeah, well, this is definitely not the last one we're doing. It's true. You should be very
aware. They are gold mines.
There's plenty more of them to come. Scott?
Yeah. I think I'm going to read... Like I said, I like the Lex stuff. I think it's... one of the, as far as like the Superman storylines that I've seen, it's a more interesting portrayal of Lex Luthor than most of the other ones, which I could not give two shits about Superman, but I don't know, the Lex Luthor storyline kind of intrigued me a little bit.
Yeah, he was a decent actor as well.
Yeah, again, because it's like he's starting off sort of, he seems like a character wants to be good, but just isn't.
Mm.
Yeah, and he's got the whole father issues with him pushing him, and there's a bit of substance to that.
It's not just like, oh, he's just evil and he's bald and he's wacky and you know, like it's a bit more complex than that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jez, in terms of it. Yeah, it is a more interesting take on Superman, and I can see there was merit in what this show would have started out as. And like I said, I kind of enjoyed that first episode to an extent. There were
still really cheesy in parts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but
it was
2001.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I'm like
hard
like,
to avoid.
I won't go back and watch it, but I could see like I could see myself like if it came on Netflix, you know, you could watch two or three of the first one. And go, oh, that's pretty good. But then you'd probably just park it there because it does. Like by that last episode, it clearly gets completely out of hand.
Way out of hand.
Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some shows are victims of their own success where they just get stretched beyond their intended lifespan.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I thought you were going to call like the audience for this show victims.
They are. Oh, they really are.
I think Alias had like a similar type ending, and it was too big, too grandiose.
Yeah,
gone doesn't to, like, need to see good and evil. And
I disagree with that because like they were sort of setting up bits of that at the start. I mean, I've seen the whole show, so
Alias.
But yeah, but they were like they were setting up little bits of it at the very start of the show, whilst like this whole thing about like Darkseid and stuff, like just. Yeah. It's completely separate from that first episode.
It is interesting to especially the last episode, look at that and look at the current trend in the superhero genre. And it is always these just, you know, the fate of the world type, ridiculous supervillains from outer space and just completely incomprehensible, like evil that, you know, only one person stands to...
yeah,
to defeat it. It's like just it's all got just too big, too out of hand. Yeah. You need to tack it back.
The stakes are too high.
Yeah,
and just when you're just inundated with. Yeah. It's the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Like every time. It's like, yeah. Well, obviously, it's not going to be the apocalypse. Yeah. Like, that's not how this is going to end.
Apocalypse fatigue.
Small stakes are better. More interesting.
Movies like Logan was quite good, I think. Just sort of broke out of that mold a little bit.
Yeah, because it's like just about the characters and like, are they going to survive? And they're
flawed characters.
Mm. All right. Do we want to get to a list?
Oh, the IMDb list of the week.
Yes, we do.
Or the month.
This one is from 2015 from IMDb user Jonesy12345.
Good name.
It's actually one that I think is valid in existence.
You found the only one.
Serves a purpose.
It does. It is actors way too old for the teenage roles they played.
Oh, that's a great list.
That's a very good list.
This is how you should use Welling. Your list. Tom Welling. He was playing a 14-year-old at 24.
Was he meant to be 14? I thought he was meant to be 16.
Not according to Jonesy 12345.
They were driving, though.
Nah, he must have been 16.
They're out in a country town.
But they were all like Lex is driving a
Porsche now, but Lex was older than him.
Lex is. Oh.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. I got a sense Lex was three years older.
A couple of years.
Wait, so it was 89 was the meteor shower, and then it fast forward to 2001.
Yeah.
I just figured he was like four when.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, well. Jonesy may be wrong.
Yeah, but anyway, too old to be a 16.
Yeah, I agree.
I did like this list because, including Smallville, there were six shows that we've covered represented on this list.
Oh, can we guess?
So Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
Who was it in Dawson's Creek?
Happy Days. It's Happy Days.
That's my favorite. Happy Days.
The Fonz.
Yes. Finishing Happy Days at 39.
That's ridiculous.
Who was it in Dawson's Creek? Dawson? Because Dawson was young.
Yeah, he ended up being. He was only like 9.
He was young, but he looked old. He had old
Kerr
face.
Kerr Smith playing Jack McPhee.
Oh, yeah.
He was pretty old.
How old was. What, 25 playing a 16-year-old?
26 playing a 16-year-old.
Can I guess that's one absurd. Of the others?
Yeah.
Ryan from the OC?
Yep. Indeed. Ryan. I think he was 28.
Yeah. Whoa.
What a bad boy.
Two others.
I mean, I reckon I could do it.
There's one that isn't too bad, who I'll give you, is in True Blood, Deborah Ann Woll was 23 playing a 17-year-old, the redhead.
Yeah, no, that's not too bad.
That's all right.
Oh.
But the by far the most heavily represented show, Pretty Little Lies.
Oh, yeah.
Had six people on this list.
Wow. Boy.
That's an indictment.
It is. But by far the biggest gap was Chinese actress Lu Xiaoqing, who was 59 playing a 16-year-old.
What? In what? What?
A thing called the Lotus Lantern.
Oh, it's something.
Is this
something Chinese?
It's, like a Chinese show. Yeah, it's a TV series. Look, she looks very good for 59.
She must.
Oh, I assume so, but still.
Not quite 16.
That's actually just taking the piss a little bit there.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You cannot do that.
That's too far.
So it reminds me of this sketch from a Charlie Brooker series called How TV Ruined Your Life, where they make up this fictional show called Bummin' Off. And it's one of these like English comedy actors that you'd recognize his face, but you wouldn't know his name. And it's just about this guy who's just been playing this 15-year-old kid for like 20 years. It's incredible. We'll have to post it up somewhere.
That's great.
It's like that Simpsons joke as well. I can't remember. It's like they're on the red carpet and it's just it's Luke Perry. He's 30. He plays a 16-year-old. He's 34 years old. He smiles.
It's like face is old super leather.
Yeah. I can't remember what actor. It might have been Jason Priestley. They were taking a shot at. I can't remember, but it was funny.
That's a good list.
Yeah, good list. That is a very worthy list. That is valid. It should exist. It
needs to exist.
It's weird to come out of this segment
satisfied.
Like, and not with like rage.
Yeah.
With more answers and rage somewhere else.
So one quick little tidbit, and I can't verify this, but the actress that played Chloe, Alison Mack, is, I don't know if you've seen anything in the news recently, but she's like alleged to be involved in this weird like sex cult where they like starve young women and like brand them with their initials.
What?
What?
Yeah. We have to say allegedly because
For legal,
it is illegal purposes. Yeah. And like none of it's really been like properly confirmed, but I saw it the other day. I was like, what is going on? Like these girls have these brandings on them that are like AM for Alison Mack. It's just like in this thing one of the other.
18 days ago, somebody saved me. Smallville actress Alison Mack is accused of being a leader of a sex cult.
Yeah.
The Weird. Leader.
Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. Well, like, yeah, or joint leader. There's like a guy who's, it's called like NCXXI or something.
Oh, yeah. NXIVM.
Mm.
She doesn't look like a sex cult leader kind of girl.
Yeah.
Who does?
That's a good question. Mm. I'll come back
to you. Blex Bluther.
I'll start a list. Actors who could potentially lead sex cults.
That's better.
The Hoff could have a sex cult.
He could, yeah.
He should.
He should, yeah. If he doesn't have one, we should start one.
On his behalf.
I'd happily get DH, like,
yeah,
carved into my forehead.
DH'd.
Yeah. What, the whole, this whole, like,
is that what they do? Do they carve it in their forehead?
I guess. That's what the Hoff does. Yeah,
Charles Manson's.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Maybe not.
Hollywood and the whole entertainment industry is in a weird place at the moment.
Yeah.
It's not going to get any better either.
The times
get a lot worse.
They are changing.
Mm. It's a lot of it's for the better.
But it's, yeah.
It's mostly for the better.
Certainly a whirlwind at the moment.
Mm. Anyway.
You can't get away with saying your dad has a sixth sense of humor for making a gay joke anymore.
You definitely can't.
That's not even a gay joke, just implying that you're gay.
Yeah, that's...
Dad has a sick, twisted, deranged sense of humor.
Sorry, Dad's a horrible bigot.
He's got no boundaries. I can't believe you'd say something as awful as you could potentially have a boyfriend.
Okay, well, on that note, we should probably tie things up, shouldn't we? Jez, tell people about the social media aspect of this program.
Yeah, the Incomplete Series on Facebook and Instagram. Podcast TIS on Twitter, if you are so inclined.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have Twitter myself, but I hear it's great.
Mm.
Very popular with the teenagers these days.
Is it?
Yeah.
The kids. Youths.
Yeah, okay.
The youth.
I hear it's the next Vine.
A company recently shut down.
Yeah.
Why not?
You can also find us at our website, theincompleteseries.com. Hit us up with show suggestions and your own reboots.
Mm. Got a great one from the Himalayas recently, so they're coming from all over the world.
They are.
You can also jump over to iTunes, give us a cheeky review if you like. Also, you can jump on Podchaser. You can also review us there, which is a...
Episode by episode, I believe.
Episode by episode.
Mm. So is this one a 9.3?
Yeah. Yeah. Solid 9.3. Yeah, not quite a 10. Quite a 10.
Yeah, we'll get to the 10 on our final episode.
What's the average across the first and last episode? Because what was the first episode? We can't claim to be Smallville. We can't claim to be a 9.3 if the first episode was an 8 or something. We have to meet in the middle.
8.8 for the first episode.
Okay, so we're a solid 9.1.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. That's not a bad rating. By any standards, unless it's out of 100, in which case it's a bad rating.
I believe Podchaser is out of 100.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right, we'll probably just leave it there. So thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Morgan.
And thank you, Scott.
Danke schön.